The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by Alumni Ventures. Invest with confidence. Discover the power of venture investing with Alumni Ventures, America's largest venture firm for individual investors. Learn more at av.vc.
Hey, before we get started, I just wanted to make a quick plug for my weekly newsletter. It's totally free, and it's a great way to get the best, most useful ideas from nonfiction without having to, you know, read a ton of books. I do that for you, along with my team, and we highlight the ideas that we think will change your life for the better. To sign up, use the link in the episode notes or go to Next Big Idea on LinkedIn. Thanks. Now on with the show.
LinkedIn presents.
The mental anguish that so many of us are feeling is enough to make us think that everyone has turned evil and the world is ending once and for all. But as it turns out, much of this unease can be explained with cognitive biases, these mental magic tricks that we play on ourselves.
Hey there, it's Wednesday. This is the Next Big Idea Daily. I'm your host, Michael Kovnat. Like me, do you ever feel lost in the modern world? Sometimes seems like our human brains weren't built to cope with a digital age flooded with nonstop information and 24/7 social media. As the late great psychologist and economist Danny Kahneman reminded us, we seem to have innate cognitive biases that can make contemporary life especially challenging. Here to share her own take on the problem is Amanda Montell, author of the new book, The Age of Magical Overthinking, Notes on Modern Irrationality. Amanda is a popular podcaster and the author of acclaimed books like Word Slut and Cultish. Here she is to share some of her latest big ideas.
In short, writing this book was inspired by a single question. Why does living in the so-called information age only seem to make life more confusing? Why does this particular time in history seem to be colliding so violently with the human spirit? It's no secret that we're living through an unprecedented mental health crisis. We're isolated, languishing, burnt out on screens, losing faith in everyone's humanity, overthinking ourselves to death, putting our faith in TikTok astrologers, larger-than-life celebrities, blacking out on nostalgic chimeras of the past, cozying up to conspiracy theories. You know, in 2021, the CDC survey found that 42% of young people felt so sad or hopeless in the last 2 weeks that they couldn't go about their normal days. 42%. The National Alliance on Mental Illness reported that between 2020 and 2021, crisis calls to their lifeline were up 251%. And yet, we're ostensibly living through the most enlightened era of all time. What is that? What's that tension? The mental anguish that so many of us are feeling is enough to make us think that everyone has turned evil and the world is ending once and for all. But as it turns out, much of this unease can be explained with cognitive biases, these mental magic tricks that we play on ourselves. Like Mentos and Diet Coke, our innate mysticisms and the information age have just combined rather explosively. Capitalism, data overload, and a competitive pressure to know everything under the sun have clashed with our irrational nature to create what I think is the most delusional era of all time. So as I mentioned, cognitive biases are psychological shortcuts that we take both automatically and unconsciously. They are deep-rooted, sometimes ancient, and they underlie so many of the mysterious, nonsensical choices that we see people making these days, including, I fear, many of my own. Some examples, you know, my neighbor opting not to get vaccinated because a YouTuber in palazzo pants said it downgraded her DNA, or my commitment in my early 20s to stick out a romantic relationship that I knew caused me suffering. From the sunk cost fallacy to the halo effect to the IKEA effect, hundreds of biases have been described. In this book, I chose my 11 faves, I guess I'll say, and each one is a sort of illusion that allows us to maximize our limited time, mental capabilities, and desire for meaning. The trouble is that they dominate our decision-making so naturally and have for so long that we don't even notice how counterproductive many of them have become. I think developing an awareness of our cognitive biases is a way to have more compassion toward others' irrationalities and skepticism of our own. It may be the only way to survive this age. Science literacy doesn't make us better at discerning facts. This is a perfect example of how more information doesn't exactly help the world make more sense. A 2011 Yale experiment on climate change perceptions concluded that becoming more scientifically literate actually made study subjects less willing to entertain views they didn't agree with. Why? Additional information just made them better at defending their existing beliefs. The study's authors concluded cultural polarization actually gets bigger, not smaller, as science literacy and numeracy increase. As ordinary members of the public learn more about science, they become more skillful in seeking out and making sense of, or if necessary, explaining away, empirical evidence relating to their group's positions. So this is an example of confirmation bias on steroids. And during sociopolitically fraught times like election years, it becomes especially important to recognize it. Because while using facts to try and force other people's minds to change is not always, as a behavioral economist might say, a rational use of one's limited time and cognitive resources, we do actually have pretty good luck changing our own minds. This one 2021 study published in Philosophical Transactions of the Royal Society found that when people trained themselves to notice their own thought processes, they were able to strengthen their defenses against misinformation and dogma. So just becoming aware of facts like this science literacy one, I think, does a lot to help us, again, just become more skeptical of ourselves. Celebrity worship is one of the ways delusion has gone mainstream. This key insight relates to that first chapter in my book, the one I mentioned that's titled, Are You My Mother, Taylor Swift? So during this era of mass loneliness and loss of identity, young people are increasingly investing in parasocial relationships with celebrities like Taylor Swift, Beyoncé, Harry Styles, Dolly Parton, whom they worship not just as entertainers, but as saviors. In 2019, a Japanese study found that about 30% of adolescents aspire to emulate a media figure, like their favorite singer or athlete. A 2021 study published in the North American Journal of Psychology measured that celebrity worship had increased dramatically since two decades prior. So this is getting more extreme. And the consequences are stark. A 2014 clinical examination concluded that high levels of celebrity worship are associated with psychological difficulties, including concerns about body image, greater proneness to cosmetic surgery, sensation seeking, cognitive rigidity, identity diffusion, and poor interpersonal boundaries. Among other observed struggles were depression, anxiety, dissociation, narcissistic personality tendencies, thirst for fame, compulsive shopping and gambling, stalking behavior, excessive fantasizing to the point of social dysfunction, addiction, and criminality. So the stakes are really high. Now, it's not unhealthy to admire a celebrity, but when people lack positive stressors from their real lives and communities, their real parents instead of the mommy that is Taylor Swift, they can lose themselves in relationships that aren't real. This intensity is responsible for these extreme cycles of celebrity worship and dethronement that we see in pop culture, especially with regard to female stars. In the book, I unpack these concepts in the context of the halo effect, or the unconscious tendency to make positive assumptions about a person's overall character based on our impressions of one single trait. Understanding magical overthinking can soothe some of this mental malaise. So you might have heard of this phrase magical thinking before. Classic magical thinking is broadly defined by the belief that one's internal thoughts can affect external events. In moments of uncertainty, from the sudden death of a loved one to a worldwide pandemic, otherwise reasonable brains start to buckle a little bit. Whether it's the conviction that one can manifest their way out of financial hardship, thwart the apocalypse by learning to can their own peaches, stave off cancer with positive vibes, or transform an abusive relationship to a glorious one with hope alone, magical thinking works in service of restoring agency. But while magical thinking is an age-old habit, overthinking feels distinct to the modern era. Faced with a sudden glut of information, cognitive biases cause the modern mind to overthink and underthink the wrong things. We obsess unproductively over the same paranoias, but we blitz past complex deliberations that deserve more care. For example, I have more than once experienced the disorientation of engaging in some battle of wits online, only to come up for air and feel in my body like I'd been using sparring tactics better suited to a Neolithic predator than a theoretical conversation. I've been referring to this era when we're so swiftly outpacing the psychological illusions that once served us as the age of magical overthinking. And for me, having a label and a lens for these relatable experiences has been enormously validating. It can just feel exhausting to exist as a human in the world right now, but that's not a personal problem. It's because in this ever-restless age, so many of us have become magical overthinkers.
Okay, my fellow overthinkers, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to our little show. And hey, if you got something out of it, how about leaving a rating or review in your podcast player? That will help other people find the show, and we appreciate it. Tomorrow, I'll be back with another take on our challenging times. We'll hear from Frank H. McCourt Jr., author of Our Biggest Fight, Reclaiming Liberty, Humanity, and Dignity in the Digital Age. I'm Michael Kavnet. See you tomorrow.